Good afternoon, folks. Wow, what a crowd. This is great. And time to reconvene a regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. It is November 15th, 2022. Tony Olson, Board President. We have with us virtually this afternoon Vice President Commissioner Rebecca Wolf. To my left, Sid Logan, Secretary. Further to my right, we have Assistant General Manager, Distribution and Engineering Services. That's a long time. Acting General Counsel, Jeff Carlstrom, Melissa Collins, Commission and Executive Services Director, Allison Morrison, Clerk of the Board, Jenny Rich, Deputy Clerk of the Board, and Morgan Stoltzner, Deputy Clerk of the Board. The written record will indicate all those who are present. Reminder, please mute or turn off all of your electronic devices during the meeting. Do we have any items to be added to the agenda, Commissioner?
I have none, but let the record reflect that we reconvene at 1:30 p.m.
Thank you so much.
I would like to add one item to the minutes from November 1 when the time comes.
Thank you. Do you have any items to? I think I see them all here. And when we will take that after I go through all of my spiel. Let's see. Comments from the public this afternoon is agenda item 2, and that is when the board will hear comments for items that are not on the listed agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes, and persons shall be recognized to speak from the sign-up cards that I have here on the desk. And there are also others located with the deputy clerk by the door. If joining us by Zoom, raise hand when you have a question or want to make a comment, or dial *9 if by phone. Attendees will be called to speak at the appropriate time. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, please step up to the podium, use the microphone, state and spell your name, and indicate where you're from. Please remain at the podium while you are speaking and address the commissioners, not the audience. And if you need additional agenda items, the agenda is also with the deputy clerk by the doors, double doors. And I appreciate all your cooperation. Also, board procedure, all board motions receive an automatic silent second, and that ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. I'll now ask you to join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic which stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Guy, I'm going to turn to you because I believe you do have an addition to the agenda, and we'll do it now.
Yeah, I would just thank you, Commissioner Olson. Just want to recognize a few of the folks standing around the back of the room. Of course, we can't have everybody here, but these are some of the folks that work day and night for days and days on end, some of them with their own families at home without lights while they were out getting the power on for our customers. And just want to acknowledge and thank the whole PUD, everyone across the district. But there's a few faces of some of the folks that were out there working extremely long hours and really just doing a great job to get our customers' lights back on.
Now Tony's going to have to pepper them with questions. For those of you who've been around a while, was this the worst you've had to work through? Spokesman, please.
I don't know if it was the worst I've seen, but you know, people
Thank you. Happy to tell you that.
For our Ops Deadline Foreman here at Snohomish County PUD, I don't think it was the worst I've seen, but for the amount of people that we had out, it was definitely the quickest restoration I've seen.
Yeah, the bulk of them were restored.
7 days to get everybody back.
I know it. My friend lives on Priest Point. But she's a retiree, so she understood. Thank you. Well, I thank you so much. I have been around here since day one, and I've been worth some storms. And while I don't know how you know all your protocols that you do now, I do have a really good sense of what it takes to put the system back together and the commitments that you have. You guys work long hours, and I know that there are protocols that you have to go through. And some customers, our customers really, some are upset, but for the most part, our customers understand. And I would imagine you might get some customers come up to you when you're in the field. And thank you for the heat and lights. And I thought to myself, I think those customers that, I think we've done such a good job with reliability and the work that you guys do, that when the lights go out, I mean, they freak out. And it's because their expectation is up here, and once in a while, the winds blow 70 miles an hour. So I feel for you. I imagine, aren't you, is anybody still tired? And your work isn't really done for the storm. Don't you have to go out and do patches that you had to do in an emergency and rework some stuff? You're going to be at this a while. Commissioner?
Well, thank you so much. My gosh, what a huge lift. Not just the crews in the field and all the dangers of that. And we learned this morning that we had no accidents, which is incredibly impressive. Looking at some of the pictures, some of the damage and trees on the ground, like toothpicks dropped from a box, just crazy. And then, you know, the social media people, all the people behind the scenes, making it all work, customer service folks, just really, really appreciate your effort. You really did great for our customers today, so thank you so much.
And I would like to add my thanks to all of you. I hope you can hear me. I'm at home with a respiratory virus, but getting better every day. And I appreciate the work that has been done, and I also appreciate Melissa Collins's updates. Frequent updates. Good job on that. Thank you, Melissa. And I can't really express my gratitude adequately, but I am aware of all the, I mean, I'm not fully aware because I wasn't out there with you, but I really imagine how hard it was. And I know that you were much appreciated in the communities that we serve. So.
Yes, don't think at all. Come around and shake your hand, but I'm not quite sure you want to say that. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And thanks, guys. It was a great surprise. Enjoyed it. Let's,
there's no rule about standing now.
Yeah.
You're more than welcome to.
They're not moving.
Stay for comment.
We will now move on to our consent. Comments from the public. Agenda item two. Do we have any comments from customer in the room, or do we have any telephonically or virtually?
You should have some in front of you, maybe.
Well, I was asking for the, okay. First in line, we do have some in the room. We have Mr. Stephen Keeler. who has left us some materials to read through. And if you care to come to the podium, you can walk us through this material.
My name is Stephen Keeler. I'm a resident of Edmonds. Last name spelling is K-E-E-L-E-R. Good afternoon to the commission. I've left with you two documents. The first document updates and makes current a collaboration between TerraPower, the Southern Company, and one of the national labs. It's either the Idaho National Lab or the New Mexico National Lab for further development of a test reactor. And I believe it's going to be a molten salt, molten chloride fast reactor variant, but it is a fourth generation test reactor. The second document speaks to a collaboration. It's an update, again, between TerraPower, and this time the state of Wyoming, and what I used to call Pacific Power and Light, but I believe it's Pacific Corp now. This document speaks to the development of something called the Natrium Reactor, the Natrium Concept. And it's an interesting concept, and I think it's quite valid, if you will, from a technical standpoint. It breaks down this system, if you will, into a reactor component using liquid sodium for circulation of heat and or cooling, and a second component using molten salts for heat storage. And I'm a little confused as to, again, this is a sodium fast reactor type, fourth generation. I'm a little confused as to what technology is going to go where with respect to the national labs, but I'll give you an update in the future. So I hope you'll have time to consider carefully the documents. Secondly, I want to thank the staff a little late. Several meetings ago, the staff began the presentation of the budget with a short overview. It wasn't too long, and it was a high-level overview. And in past years, I don't remember the staff doing it this way. And I may be wrong, maybe they didn't, I just don't remember. But I thought that overview, that high-level overview standalone, was a great idea. It really helped me. Every time I sit through a budget presentation, I learn more. There's a lot to learn. But I hope that this overview to start the budget presentation will continue in the future. And I do thank the staff for that work. And finally, in closing, I want to note the results of the election. I want to thank Commissioner Olson for being here and serving another term. You are a deep database that is extremely important, and I appreciate your running again.
Thank you.
And the voters of the county certainly agree.
Thank you. And on the budget, Steve, I actually noticed that myself, and I know they're always refining those presentations, particularly from perspective of a customer, understanding the complexities. So I noticed that myself and liked it. We have another customer who wishes to make a comment. Alex Cassandra, is that correct, sir?
That's correct. Alex Cassandra, I'm a PUD customer. I received a mailing from PUD telling me they plan to raise my electric bill by 64% sometime next year as part of the Connect Up program. 64%. I don't consider that to be a reasonable rate increase. I hope you don't either. I thought it was the commissioner's responsibility to avoid that type of rate increase. I hope that's true. What's worse is that they want me to pay 64% more for the privilege of not having my data gathered and not being exposed to additional 5G emissions. Yet PUD claims it has, quote, no plans to raise rates to pay for Connect Up, end quote. Buying and installing tens of thousands of new meters with no rate increase. if it were true, maybe PUD's customers would prefer to have their rates reduced instead of financing Connect Up if PUD is so overcapitalized. But we haven't been given that option, have we? And they're already planning to raise my rates as someone who opts out. That is, someone who continues to use their existing perfectly functional meter and thereby prevents waste and saves the planet and all the green stuff that PUD is so committed to, according to the website. What about protecting the health and safety of Snohomish County residents? Is that no longer a priority either? PUD clearly isn't acting in good faith. On their Connect Up page, under frequently asked questions, is this new metering technology safe? They start out quoting the WHO, one of the most discredited, corrupt organizations I'm aware of. That's what PUD presents as a trustworthy information source. They go on to state that it's all okay because the meter emissions are intermittent and less than other devices people use. This completely ignores the fact that these meters will be increasing the background exposure to 5G RF emissions, and that unlike a cell phone that I can choose to use or not, the smart meter will be doing this thing 24 hours a day, not just the one on my house, but on every house around me. How much additional 5G emissions is enough to push someone's body over the edge and developing cancer? Are you confident that this round-the-clock exposure, however minimal and intermittent, won't lead to cancer or endocrine disorder deaths? If so, what are you basing that confidence on? And if not, why are you allowing PUD to pursue this program with reckless disregard for public health? You're making a decision for hundreds of thousands of people that risks their health and erodes their privacy. It would be unethical to do that without a compelling reason and clear and convincing evidence that any risk was minimal. There is no compelling reason to install smart meters. The arguments PUD makes in their favor are weak at best, and as to the potential health risks, I'm sure you've done your due diligence and did your own research rather than simply accepting information and experts provided by PUD. You know there's plenty of evidence to suggest that increasing people's background 5G RF exposure is harmful. So why have you not reined in PUD? This action by PUD fundamentally changes its relationship with its customers. That relationship currently is more or less honorable. PUD provides a useful service that people pay for. Now PUD wants to step off the porch and run with the big dogs like big tech and big pharma, and they're taking you commissioners along with the ride. They want to gather information on their customers like big tech, and they want to injure and kill some of their customers like big pharma. This it doesn't have to be like this. You know, PUD has walked away from bad decisions in the past at considerable cost, and PUD could do this again. You could say that we don't want smart meters in Snohomish County, or at least give people the option not to have them without being additionally taxed, and continue to be an honorable organization instead of dishonoring yourselves by going along with this agenda. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. We will now move on to the consent agenda, item 3A, approval of the minutes for the special meeting of October 27, 2022, and the regular meeting of November 1st, 2022.
Madam President, I would like to move to remove, item A, 3A, for reconsideration and an addition to the entries in those minutes.
Thank you. I'm in the middle of a motion, and let's get through this and then make your request again.
Okay.
Thank you. 3B, awards, bid awards, professional services contracts and amendments. 3C, consideration of certification, ratification, and approval of district checks and vouchers. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Any comments from the public on this motion? Anyone in the room? Do we have anyone virtually?
There's somebody.
Clerk? Do we move forward, or do I ask, or do we pull this now?
She needs to make her motion.
Yeah, Commissioner?
All right.
So yeah, this is Jeff Kalstrom, interim general counsel. So yeah, Commissioner Wolf would make her motion to remove the minutes.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Wolf?
Madam President, I would like to move to remove 3A from the agenda for reconsideration. And the rationale for this is that we have a governance policy number G4 that says, quote, any member may place an item on the agenda during a board meeting. And long ago, we agreed on a board owner linkage that says, quote, the board is seeking to strengthen the relationship and linkage between the elected representatives of the PUD, the owners of the PUD, and the policymaking process. And that relates to why I'm bringing my amendment today.
To vote first to remove it.
Should I now mention the changes or hold off on that?
We need to work on the motion before we have discussion.
You have introduced a motion to remove minutes from the regular meeting of November 1st, 2022 from the consent agenda.
Correct.
I will call for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 We will now refer back to, we will now, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda for items A and B.
Point of clarification.
And for the special meeting of October 27, 2022.
Madam President,
point
of clarification, may I please add my suggested changes to the minutes?
Not yet.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm not used to doing this.
All right, I'm going to restate my current. You want to go
me to summarize? So my understanding is we're voting on the consent agenda now. We're going to, which includes item B and item C, and the special meeting mentioned in item A.
Yes.
And then we will handle the regular meeting minutes after that.
We have a motion on the table. All those in favor say aye.
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 We will now move on to approve or to consider the Commissioner Wolf amendment to the consent agenda for the minutes of November 1st, 2022. I'll call for a motion.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, so if I can step in real quick. This, again, Jeff Kalstrom.
Do you want to do it?
So under parliamentary procedure and Robert's rules, we need to bring the minutes, a motion to approve the minutes first. So we'll bring that brings the minutes in front of the board. And then once we have the minutes, then Commissioner Wolf can move to amend those minutes. And then with an automatic second, then the amendment will be in front of the board. We'll vote on the amendment first, and then we'll revert back to the original motion to vote on the minutes as amended or not. Does that make sense?
No.
Okay.
We vote on the amendment.
We are voting on the amendment.
The first order of business is to move the minutes for approval. Once those are moved for approval, then Commissioner Wolf will then move for amendments, and then we'll vote on those in reverse order.
Okay, so I move approval.
Yeah. You move approval. All those in favor say aye.
It's motion for approval. Now you ask for discussion. As part of the discussion, Commissioner Wolf will raise her issue.
And we're off on the minutes to make an amendment to.
So the minutes are now in front of the board, so now we can engage in the discussion.
Commissioner Wolf, you have provided some background on your request for this set of minutes. Do you have additional information?
Well, I understand that long ago, I mean, there was a practice, there is a practice that's been long going at long-term standing, and that is that we don't mention anything about anything other than the name of the presenter. And in order to strengthen the relationship and linkage between the board members, owners of the PUD, and the policymaking process, I would like to give an example of why I think we need to change that. And here are my two suggested changes to the minutes for November 1st. The first one would read, Stephen Keeler Edmonds provided documents at places by reference made a part of the packet. That's already in the minutes. And then I would like to add, Mr. Keeler's documents contain research related to sea level rise and polar ice science. And then the second change said Gayla Shoemake, period. And I would like to add, Dr. Shoemake discussed her concerns related to potential energy shortages and urged the commission to encourage more community and residential solar development. And that's all, those are all the changes I would like to make.
Commissioner Wolf, Jeff Halsham again. So it sounds like you're making a motion to amend the November 1st, 2022 minutes.
Right, that's correct.
As you, and then as the amendment would be as you just described.
Correct.
We have a motion on the table.
Yeah, I guess.
Discussion.
I guess my discussion is, I've known for working with school district, but minutes just reflect actions. And know that we don't include these kind of in-depth discussions of our own in our minutes. So I think the minutes are appropriate as written.
So do we have discussion? I would like to.
You have other input, Commissioner Wolf.
Just because a school board does it a certain way does not mean that it's in the best interest of our PUD. And if we're serious about seeking to strengthen the relationship and linkage between the board and the owners, I think we should encourage and recognize and acknowledge the contributions of our public. And a very, very brief explanation of what the person spoke about is the least we could do. So that's why I brought forward these recommended changes.
Thank you, Commissioner Wolf. I think this is a good topic for us to cover when we revisit our policies. I would like to cover it at that time, more in-depth discussion. However, that's my input. I will now call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Nay.
I don't hear.
What is the motion that we're voting on now?
Your motion to amend the minutes.
Well, I would move yes, aye, to amend.
Nay. The motion does not pass.
But I will say I agree with you that we need to take this up at our next board retreat and talk about our policies and what's best for the PUD.
Thank you, Commissioner. I, as I said a few minutes ago, I absolutely do agree.
I know it's been about 3 years since we had a retreat. So we do need to get
Commissioner.
We do need to get that on our calendar.
Yes, we do. We will now move on to agenda items.
So, Commissioner Olson, you need to now approve the minutes as provided in the packet, since that other motion failed.
And that motion is on the table?
Yes.
I will call for a vote on the minutes as amended in the packet.
As provided.
Provided in the packet.
Aye.
Aye. Commissioner Wolf?
I just need clarification as to what I'm actually voting on. The wording.
No, you're voting on the minutes that were provided in the packet.
Okay, given that we are going to get this dealt with soon, I will vote to go ahead and approve.
Thank you, Commissioner. Motion passes. Let's hope it gets better. We will now move on to agenda item 4, public hearing. Continue the 2023 proposed budget hearing. I will now convene the public hearing on the 2023 proposed budget. And I believe we have, Lisa. Well, it says introduce Scott. Is Scott here hiding? Oh, there you are.
I'm only speaking in case of emergency today.
Please introduce yourself.
Hi, Sarah Bond, Budget and Financial Planning Manager. I apologize if I sound a little nasally. I'm coming off of a cold, so please forgive that. So here we are to finish the public hearing for the 2023 budget. This is our last presentation, and we'll be asking for your approval at the next meeting on December 6th. So today we're primarily going to be talking about our five-year forecast for both the electric system and the water system. So we're going to start a little bit and just talk about kind of, the five-year forecast is not created in a vacuum. We have a lot of things that we consider when we're creating this forecast. We want to ensure that we're providing enough funding to make sure we can maintain reliability. We want to make sure that we're continuing to provide reasonable rate increases, that we have adequate reserves, and that we're supporting our long-term strategic priorities. And we've talked many times about some of the strategies that we primarily utilize. We look at rate strategies, we look at cost management, and then we also look at bond and financing opportunities. And all of this is done in with all of the risks that we're looking at in our current environment. We've been talking about these the whole entire budget process, supply, our labor pipeline, market volatility, generation water supply, climate impacts, which is just near and dear to our hearts. All these things are taken into consideration when we're looking at our five-year forecast. And I've also mentioned this in previous presentations, but just a reminder that we're really incorporating work that's being done across the entire district on all of the different facets of our organization that are embedded into this document that we're showing you today. This is in response to our presentation 2 weeks ago. You had requested looking at what how our bills compare. This is the electric. Our electric bills, and you can see in this, we're somewhere in the middle. And this is 2022. We don't have any 2023 anything layered in yet, since we don't have any final numbers. But you can see we're somewhere in the middle of the pack for bills, average bills for our customers.
Well, and when you consider where some of these are located, we're doing really well. When you look at Seattle and Puget Sound. Thank you for this.
So let's talk a little bit about the forecast. So we have obviously those is 5 years out, so we have to build in some assumptions. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what's in here. First of all, it has the load forecast is from September of 22, so it's relatively recent. And compared to last year, it definitely has some higher retail loads than we projected a year ago. We continue to assume that we're going to be funding our income qualified discount program at similar levels. And we've also been looking at, we're looking at the long-term impacts of all of the things we've experienced in the last 3 years of the pandemic and supply chain and inflation. So we have included some small multi-year rate increases in the forecast. Wholesale sales, they're a little bit higher than what we showed you last year for the 5 years, and that's primarily reflecting the current market that we've been seeing. We do see some declines in the out years, which I'll point out shortly. Our other operating revenues, really, it's relatively flat year over year, nothing too exciting, just a couple assumptions that we make, that our miscellaneous service charges will return to normal levels, and that we do expect a little bit less of a residential exchange credit in 2024 to 2027. On the operating side, on the expenditure side, purchase power, we did incorporate the most recent information that we have from BPA, which does have the settlement dollars that we will be receiving, as well as an increase to our block product. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. We do have just some small BPA rate increases based on inflation and that are just assumed in the forecast right now. Our generation system costs at the moment remain relatively stable. There aren't any large projects in our forecast at this time. And our market purchases are expected to be a lot higher than we forecasted last year, kind of offsetting the market sales that we're expecting to see. This is again reflective of what we've been seeing today. On the O&M side, transmission and ancillary, luckily, is gonna, we're expecting it to remain relatively flat over the forecast. And this is a result of a settlement. Other O&M components, as a reminder, our energy efficiency programs are funded in our O&M budget, and we're including funding to continue promoting those programs. The rest of the O&M is the other departmental. We are expecting some increasing cost pressures due to supply chain and inflation issues, so we have built in some pretty conservative inflation into our O&M forecast to make sure that we're covering those projects. On the capital side, we've got kind of what we call our core capital, which is the maintenance of our substations, new substations, and we're continuing to fund those programs between about $68 and $78 million a year. We've got kind of two bigger projects in the first few years of this forecast, which is the Connect Up project, which began ramping up this year, and then we're also going to continue funding the North County Community Office and some other facilities projects. So all of these are some of the assumptions that are built into the electric system forecast. So the proposed budget that we came to you with on November 1st, that was what we call our proposed budget. And this year we do have a few changes that we're going to propose for the final budget. So the first one, Scott actually alluded to this at our last presentation. We are going to adjust our retail sales budget by about $5 million downward, just to reflect kind of a recalculation of how we forecast those dollars. So we'll have a $5 million decrease in energy retail sales because of that. BPA settlement, let's talk about that a little bit. So we are expecting more block because of the settlement, which is going to increase our cost about $4.6 million. In 2023. However, we're also going to be receiving credit, which in it'll be about, I think it's $23 million total. We'll be receiving a little bit of that information, a little bit of that in 2022, and the rest will be in the 2023. So that was a good news on our budget. We have some GASB proclamations that we're accounting has been handling, which have some impacts to the budget. Won't go into the boring detail, but all it's really doing is just shifting dollars from one bucket to another in the budget. But there's really it's a net to the budget. We're also adjusting our vehicle rates to match FEMA vehicle rates. And that's going to have, again, it's going to increase our O&M a little bit, but it's going to decrease our capital cost. So again, it's a net, but it does change around some of our numbers. And then we're also have some dollars earmarked for a potential East County land purchase that may occur in 2023. So those are the changes that we're proposing to 2023 for electric.
I have a quick question. So the block cost increase, is that also a block volume increase? The amount of block?
It actually is a volume increase.
Okay.
Yes.
And so, well, there'll be a corresponding wholesale power increase in power sales then?
There were some very minor changes to the wholesale power market, but not significant.
This is Jason Siskowski, AGM for Power Supply. And yes, you're correct. It's due to a volume increase, and some of that is due to increasing load forecast, and then some of it is due to part of the settlement where BPA previously calculated the system size based on 1937 water. That's moved to a P10 kind of analysis there. And so there was some settlement around that issue with the volume of block that we're receiving.
I apologize. I said block and it says block. I was thinking slice.
Oh.
If they had more slice, we would sell more slice too.
Yeah.
Never mind.
This is all in block.
Yes. I'm so rattled by the amendment to our.
I haven't quite recovered.
You have to bring that up again.
It is more exciting than our usual meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry, sir.
No, no, I'm glad he was able to clarify that.
Can you, first of all, can you go over the explanation of energy retail sales adjustment?
Yeah, we get a load forecast from Brian Booth's group. The budget office does our work to try to forecast what that's going to look like with different rates. But we've just been revisiting our calculation, especially now that we have a fixed charge. It's a little bit different of a formula. So we're just fine tuning, and we think this is a more accurate number on
the website. Cut.
So these are what the changes look like with what we would have discussed. You can see a $5 million decrease in energy retail sales. Energy wholesale sales, as I mentioned, there's just some fairly small tweaks because of the new block changes. Purchase power, you can see the net decrease of about $70 million, and that's due to both of the impacts of BPA. Net O&M, you can see, hasn't changed much at all. Most of the changes we made did not affect O&M. Capital, you see, is up a little bit. That's a result of the land purchase that we have bookmarked in here, as well as some of the FEMA things that we discussed. So at the end of the day, it's actually a better forecast than we, or a better budget than we had. Had a proposed budget has a little bit higher net income. So here's a look at our five-year forecast. I'm going to point out a few things. Energy retail sales, you can see some slow and steady growth, and this is a reflection of both load increases as well as some small rate increases. Energy wholesale sales, you can see we've got 2 years in 2023 and 24 where the numbers are substantially higher than we've seen historical, and that's based on what we've seen in market prices, but we are expecting them to go back to normal in 2025 and 27. This, of course, will be revisited next year, and you know, we'll see what the market's looking like. Other operating revenues, you can see remain relatively flat over the forecast years.
Questions? Slide. Is there another one in our last hearing that includes our anticipated bond issues and anticipated rate increases? Is it? I believe we've had that in the past, or did I just make it up?
Well, in this particular forecast, we actually don't have any additional bond increases.
Oh, well, that's a good story.
Yes, that's
all
actually
right.
One of the things, you kind of stole my thunder a little bit there. We were going to talk about that, but yeah, no, we actually have managed to provide a forecast that at this time does not have any additional bond for.
Oh, all right.
Bond for. We'll of course revisit this as you know market conditions change. And the rate increases are between 1.5 and 2% annually.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
So, can you walk me through the days the cash on hand, why it's dropping so sort of like.
a little bit intentional, and I'm gonna let Scott pop in if I miss something here, but you know, we're gonna have more at the end of 23 and 24 because we're using bond funds to fund a decent part of our capital, so we're not having to use as much of our reserves, but we're intentionally planning to use down our reserves in order to pay for our capital. 120 is our minimum.
Yeah.
So our goal is never to fall below 120, but we're also trying to do what we can to balance out the cash that we have and still maintain above our reserve levels. So we are expecting it to kind of drop a little bit over time.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
So well, the only thing I want to point out here is also going back to debt a little bit, our outstanding debt principal, because we're not planning on issuing anymore, you can see that our debt levels continue to drop, and we're of course excited to see that number. Capital expenditures, we do have a couple high years in 23 and 24. We're funding a lot of that with our bonds, but we do expect to go back to normal capital spending in the out years. Any further questions on this slide? Um, Last but not least, part of the budget process is to show where we expect our reserves to be at the end of 2023. We already have seen the operating reserve number. And again, this is a little bit about what our minimum is, but this is kind of intentional. So our operating reserves are kind of just our working capital. We also have our, oh my goodness, excuse me, our debt management reserve, which you're familiar with, is money that's been set aside that we could potentially use if it's needed for, we need to issue new bonds and the market's just not profitable. We have sinking reserves, which is money we just need to set aside to help pay for our bonds. On the project reserves, this is our bond funds. So we are expecting to use down some bond reserves, but we still will have some left at the end of 2023, which we'll use in 2024. Contingency reserve. Also, you may have remember this is part of it's the market volatility reserve. This is the money that we have held aside in case of pretty extreme events. And then the bond debt service reserves are money that we're required to have for just to maintain our bonds.
Before we leave the electric system, do we have any additional questions? Commissioner Wolf? Commissioner Wolf?
I had muted myself. Sorry, what was the question?
Before we move on to the water system part of the budget presentation, I'm checking with my fellow commissioners to see if they have any questions on the presentation thus far.
No, I studied it quite a long time and I appreciate it. And I don't have any further questions.
Thank you.
All right, well, let's take a look at our water system. Again, this is a similar graph to what we showed earlier for electric. So this is water bill, pure utility bills for 2022. And you can see that we're kind of on the lower end of the pack in this water.
Thank you again for this graphic.
So let's talk about the water system forecast. A little bit different than electric, but a lot of similar things that they're dealing with. They are expecting growth, customer growth, of about 1.5% annually from 2023 to 2027. They also have a series of some small multi-year rate increases that'll begin in 2023. They have some wholesale sales, and so not a lot of change here that is reflecting similar growth rates to for the cities of Arlington and Granite Falls. Purchase water, you've heard quite a bit about purchase water and some of the increases we're seeing from them. So we'll definitely see some pressure from in our purchase water, both from increases from the city of Everett and there's just more demand because of growth in the area. O&M is just going to have normal inflation in it, as well as any inflation that the electric system gets, some of it's going to be passed on to the water system. So we'll see a little bit of an increase there. Capital, there's a lot of capital going on in water in the next 5 years. They're going to be continuing emphasis on their main replacement program, and they have their AMI beginning this year or next year. The water system does have two placeholders for bonds, $7 million in 2023 and $13 million in 2025 to help fund capital. Just a quick look at the numbers. Water retail sales, you can see some growth 23-27. Again, that's a reflection of growth in customers as well as some small rate increases. Purchase water, you can definitely see the impact of the city of Everett on their purchase water numbers. O&M, you can see going up just, you know, pretty much standard every year, reflecting some inflation and then shared services costs from electric system. I do want to point out an error I just noticed this morning. The interest charges in 2027, that number should actually be pretty normal. It should be closer to the $1,000,034. It was just an error. So the actual number should be a little over $1 million. And then that meant the net income is actually not $2.7 million negative. It's actually only $400,000. So I just want to make sure I pointed out that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So I mean, what happened in 27? And capital, you can see there's quite a bit of capital, especially in the next few years. We talked quite a bit about their 23 capital in the budget hearings. So they've got a few years of some larger projects, and then they'll be going back to kind of normal capital spending in the out years. And last but not least, also we'll be looking at their reserves. So at the end of 23, we project about $6.2 million in their operating reserve. They also have the similar reserves. They have the sinking reserves that are required, as well as project reserves. For the water system, the project reserves are the general facilities charges fund for the most part. So there's money that they collect for certain projects, but they can only spend on certain projects. And they will be using some of these dollars for eligible capital in 23. They also have a contingency reserve, 1.5 million, which is set aside for large issues that may arise. And then also on debt service reserves that they have to maintain. That's what we have for today.
I have no more questions. Thank you.
Commissioner Wolf, do you have any questions?
I do not. Thank you very much.
I won't ask. Very good presentation.
Right. Thank you. And we'll be back in 2 weeks and we'll be requesting approval of the
draft. Right. Yeah. Okay. Do we have anyone on telephonically or virtually?
We do not.
All right. And we'll now entertain a motion to continue the public hearing on the 2023 budget.
I move the public hearing on the 2023 proposed budget be continued to Tuesday, December 6, 2022 at 1:30 p.m. at 2320 California Street in Everett, Washington.
I will now call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 We will move on to agenda item 5, public hearing in action, 5A, consideration of a resolution approving increased fees payable by the licensees of space on district utility poles. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
I will now convene a public hearing. And should we have any questions, Beth? Haskins is here. I have no questions, Commissioner.
No, we were thoroughly briefed.
Yes, yes. Commissioner Wolf, any questions?
No, thank you.
No comments.
Okay, thank you. I will now close the public hearing and I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes. Agenda item 6, items for individual consideration, 6A, consideration of a motion accepting the third quarter 2022 financial conditions and activities monitoring report. I will call for a motion.
I move acceptance.
We have Julia Anderson with us to provide a presentation.
Good afternoon. It's nice to be back. I think this is my first meeting back since COVID, so it's nice to see you in person again. This is a presentation of the third quarter monitoring report for financial results for 2022. And this slide here is showing the statement of operations results for the electric and the generation system combined. Net income for third quarter ending 2022 is up about $34 million as compared to the same period last year. Total operating revenues are about $45 million higher, and we'll get into more of the detail of these numbers as we go through the presentation. And total operating expenses are about $3 million greater than the same period last year. So when we take a look at our operating revenues for the first three quarters of the year, we can see that our retail sales are up about $13 million. The biggest driver for our revenues are the wholesale revenue increases. That those numbers are up about $30 million. The same period last year. Again, a little bit more detail coming on the future slide. And our other revenues, those are our late fees, rents, some of our miscellaneous revenues. Those are running pretty comparable to the same period prior year. This slide is showing our megawatt hours billed when we compare 2022 to 2021. And you can see residential sales have increased slightly. Prices are remaining about the same. Commercial and industrial are similar to prior year. The biggest change on this slide is our wholesale revenues. And again, you can see that 2022 is higher than previous years. And that's because the rate out in the market is higher, and we've also had more power to sell in the wholesale market, which is driving that. And that corresponds to the previous slide where you saw the larger increase in the wholesale sales. Moving on to our operating expenses, you can see our operations and maintenance expenses are slightly lower than last year. We've kind of moved our focus out of doing some of the catch-up work on some of the deferred maintenance and stuff from the pandemic work, and we're doing more capital work this year than we had same period last year. You can also see purchase power is up slightly, just about $3 million as compared to the previous year. And taxes and depreciation are running as we would expect them to be. So we're pretty much pretty close and comparable to the same period last year. This slide is our megawatt hours for power supply. You can see block is running pretty close to same as last year. Bigger change is in BPA slice. Quite a bit more coming in from slice, and the price variance is a little bit different. But again, the biggest impact on this slide would be the market purchases. This year, 2022 as compared to 2021, you can see that we sold less power on the market, but the pricing has been better. So that's impacting us. Moving on to our other income and expense items. Interest income and expense are running pretty much where we would expect them to be. We're still seeing some fluctuations in the market for interest rates comparable to our portfolio. Some of those are those what we call geeky accounting things that we have to do that drive some of these numbers. But again, everything is in line where we expect it to be. And our capital expenditures are just up a little bit over the same period previous year. And then I always like to just go back to this slide just to bring everything back around in a total summary. And again, as we noted earlier, those wholesale revenues being up about $30 million is really the biggest driver for the net income increase of about $34 million. Moving on to our financial indicators, again, the electric and generation systems continue to have some really strong performance for the year. And we aren't seeing any anomalies in any of these numbers that we would expect. The outstanding bonds are up a little bit. They're slightly increased, and that is because we had a bond sale earlier this quarter. But other than that, the financial indicators are strong. And then additional electric system operating indicators, you can see that our retail sales are increasing slightly. Our net write-offs, those numbers are starting to increase, and that is because we are starting to do some collections with our customers again. And so we're watching these numbers very closely to see how they're impacting our financial statements and working very diligently with our customers to help them and provide any assistance that we can to assist in that area. The other item I would point out on this slide is the new customer connections. You can see that it's down slightly from the previous year. Last year it was 4,300 new customers. This year for the same period, we're at about 3,900. So we're seeing that the housing market is kind of slowing down, stabilizing a little bit, but we're still growing in customers. So that's a good sign. We're just over 374,000 customers. Again, very strong results for the electric system.
Could you go back to that slide? And I may be missing some. Won't the results of the briefing we had this morning help the net write-off? Won't that bring that down?
Yes, it should. And that's a, these numbers here can be quite complex in how we get to them. So as that money comes in from that federal program, it will be impacting these. And we'll be looking at all of that very closely and keeping a close eye on it. I knew you were going to ask that question.
I don't ever disappoint.
We just always try to be prepared.
I know you do.
So moving on to the statement of operations for the water system, net income, you can see, has decreased significantly from the same period last year. And while the operating revenues have increased a little bit and the operating expenditures are a little bit higher, they're in line with what we expect. The biggest driver for the change on the net income on the water system is the capital contributions. And again, those capital contributions are developer driven, and some of them are cash contributions, some of them are plant that is donated to the water system. So that just kind of fluctuates throughout the year, but you can see it's a definite indicator that things have slowed down a little bit.
Yeah.
But again, looking at the rest of the financial indicators for the water system, everything is exactly as we would expect it to be. No areas of concern for the water system. The outstanding water system debt is down slightly. We just recently made bond payments, principal and interest payments on all of our drinking water state revolving fund loans. So that's driving outstanding bond payments down, but we're also continuing work on the Warm Beach system and making draws on that as well. So again, it's nice to see that it's going down a little bit, but we're continuing work on the Warm Beach system. And there are other operating indicators. You can see the retail cubic feet sold is down slightly. And then down towards the bottom of the slide. Again, like the electric system, you can see the new customer connects have decreased a little bit, but total active customers continues to grow. So again, the water system is performing very, very strongly, and all looks good.
The new connects actually, it's not just a little bit, that's significant.
Yes.
For reasons.
Yes.
Do we have anyone with us virtually or on the phone with questions on this agenda item?
No.
And commissioners, any questions on the briefing?
I have no questions. It's great to see you in person.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're healthy. Glad you're healthy again. Thank you.
I have no questions, no further questions. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. And we will now move on to agenda item 6, items for individual consideration. 6A, consideration. I will now move on to item 6B. We've done 6A. I didn't do A. 6B, consideration of a resolution adopting a plan or system of additions to and extensions of the district's water utility, declaring the intention of the Board of Commissioners to form water utility District number 65 to carry out that plan, and fixing the date, time, and place for a public hearing on the formation of a proposed local utility district and confirmation of the assessment role. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
We have Christina here? Christina?
Yes.
Should we have any questions? Is this the non-contiguous?
Yes, it is. And this year we have three on there, totaling about $32,000.
Commissioner Wolf, do you have any questions?
Well, I'm interested about the local utility district formation or creation. Have we done these in the past?
Yes, we do them every year.
We do them every year. Okay. So is the reason that we can do a non-contiguous one, we can put different plots into the same, is that because our water main is relatively close?
No, these individuals come to us because their private wells have failed or have run out.
Well, I read that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Yeah, I read all about it, but I know that why they're doing it, but how are we able to take disparate portions and put them into one local utility district? I mean, I know you've done it before. Just interested in how you can do that. And so I was guessing that maybe it's because PUD water system has water mains that run somewhere near. I mean, I noticed that the Stillaguamish and the Pilchuck rivers are nearby. I don't know how does that work together as far as our water mains and connecting with those people.
Yeah, and we do have water mains near the locations, but I'll actually have Brian maybe answer that a little bit more eloquently than I can.
I don't know about that. Brant Wood, AGM on Water Utility. So one of the differences between a typical LUD and a non-contiguous LUD is that a typical LUD, exactly what Commissioner Wolf mentioned, is there's a set of boundary, a defined boundary. And within that boundary, it's your number percentage of the customers have to agree to move forward with the LUD process for it to be approved. In this case, with the non-contiguous LUD, because everyone agrees to it individually, as they sign the paperwork, legal has given, and this is a decision that was made a long time ago, that we can do these non-contiguous LUDs where we don't have to have a more defined boundary and a vote of every parcel within it, because every parcel that's part of the non-contiguous LUD has voted in favor of the non-contiguous LUD. So, you know, again, it's a mechanism that allows us to help finance these connections to the water when people's wells go dry. It's been very popular with our customers. I think we've been doing it since
the mid to late 80s.
Well, 65 times, maybe.
we have other LEDs too that are the bigger LEDs, and the more typical LED is, again, defining a complete area, looking at all the improvements that would have to be made, and assessing each of the parcels, even if they vote no or yes, assessing each of the parcels within that boundary, as long as the majority of the customers agreed. But again, in a non-contiguous LUD, every customer that's part of it has, by default, by signing the agreement, has to it.
So the proximity. Oh, sorry. So the proximity to our water mains is relevant or is not relevant?
Well, it is, because honestly, if it wasn't adjacent to one of our water mains, it would be cost prohibitive for them to connect. So typically they have to be adjacent to our, but they don't have to be contiguous to the other LUD customers.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Did you have any questions?
Just a comment. I'm glad we can do this for our customers. Thank you.
Yeah. I think it was in the late 80s.
Yeah, I want to say it was about 86.
Okay. Do we have no other questions? Do we have anyone virtually or telephonically?
We do not.
All right, thank you. I will now call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Commissioner Wolf?
Aye.
All right, thank you. Aye. Motion passes. We will now move on to agenda item 6C, consideration of a resolution authorizing the CEO General Manager of Public Utility District Number 1, Snohomish County, to execute an interlocal agreement with Snohomish County for the design and installation of a portable interactive renewable energy education microgrid display to be housed at the Arlington Microgrid Clean and Techie Clean Energy Technology Center. Holy. I'll entertain a motion. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
We have Brenda White here. Should we have any questions on this agenda item? Do we have anyone telephonically or virtually? All right.
This is Commissioner Wolf. I was just interested in the county's contribution to the cost of this. How does that happen, if you don't mind explaining that, please, Brenda?
Sure. Brenda White with Local Government Affairs. That's a very good question. The $75,000 is out of the county's operational budget, general operations budget. So it's a grant. It comes from their budget.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer your question?
Well, I'm glad to see it. I just wasn't sure why the county was paying that much. So
sure.
It is a grant. Okay, thank you.
That's another good question. Each of the council districts had budgetary dollars for projects within their council districts.
Look forward to seeing it when it's all done.
Me too.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you.
I'm very excited about this project.
Oh, I'm sure you are.
I think I mentioned that in the past. Thank you.
I will now call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes. And we will now move on to agenda item 7, commission business, 7A, commission reports. Commissioners, do we have any reports this afternoon?
I have none.
I attended the coffee chat about the link, the development of the light rail.
Oh.
And then also, and I believe Commissioner Logan did it too, we listened to an APPA broadcast or report on the elections and perhaps some implications, I can't get my words out, some implications of the elections. I won't comment further. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Wolf. I have nothing to report. We will move on to agenda item 7B, Commissioner Event Calendar. Do we have any changes to that calendar?
Well, I won't be attending the PPC conference because of illness. I was really looking forward to getting back in person, but maybe next time. But I hope Commissioner Logan has a really good time down there in Portland.
He'll represent the board well.
Yeah.
We will now move on to agenda item 7C, commission consideration of a resolution establishing the regular meeting dates of the commission for the year 2023. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
I'm guessing we have no comments from the public. Commissioners, do we have any questions or comments on the proposed meeting schedule?
I have none.
I have no comments.
Thank you. I will now call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye, motion passes. We will now move on to agenda item 8A, governance planning calendar. I gotta get to it here.
Is our special meeting on December 13th still?
Thank you, that was my question.
Still gonna happen?
Yes.
It is. All right. Yeah. Is it? And it's on our electronic calendars.
Yes,
it is.
Yes. We don't have the time confirmed.
Okay, that's what my. All right. I did see it, but no time. All right. Well, please let me know.
I sure will.
Well, it looks like we're approaching the end of our agenda. Do we have any
Commissioner Olson, what would we have to do to get started on planning for our next board retreat? To get that somehow on the calendar for 2023, early 2023.
Well, that's we've had it. Yes, we need to do that. And to identify pre-work, yeah. Yeah, date and time. Thank you for reminding me of that. We have any further business this afternoon? Don't see guy looking up at me. Since there is no further business before the board, it is 2:45 p.m. and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.